It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
I'm Tony Sands, and I'm going to bring you a delighted show tonight. We got a lot of topics here in the sports world. The main topic, and it's from the college football world that everyone is talking about, sports talk radio, ESPN, even the NFL Network has chimed in on this topic. And the topic is Mr. Johnny Manziel, Mr. Football himself, has come up with another issue that can possibly sideline him for this football season. We're going to chime in on this when I bring my guest on, because this is a topic dealing with the state of Texas that bring this topic so close to him because of Johnny Manziel playing at Texas A&M, and they're now in a situation. Do they lose Johnny Manziel for the season? Now, how bad does this hurt the Aggies? And is Johnny Manziel being sat down and talked to by the coach or the administration? Because it's going to come into play when all this come about once the season kicks off, because I'm quite sure Alabama wants to know, does Johnny Manziel suit up for the A&M Aggies? Hottest topic, though, in the NFL world that just happened not too long ago is the main man, Tom Brady, for the New England Patriots, has a bad, possibly knee sprain. The MRI came up negative for Tom Brady, but he was seen limping off the field. How bad does this affect the New England Patriots' outlook on where they're going and where they're playing to be at? We're going to get into that. We're going to dive into that topic. Also, preseason is here. You're going to get a chance to hear us talk about your team and see how your team is doing when it comes to the preseason. The Cowboys, yet again, tops Ford's expensive franchise list. Geno Smith, his coach talked to him today in reference to how they're doing. Geno Smith had a brutal day. A brutal day when it comes to throwing the football. We're going to chime into that in a few minutes. We're going to bring on my main man, Mr. Bibbs, as he talks to you about what is going on in Big D, what is going on with Johnny Manziel, what is happening in the sports world in the great state of Texas. Later on in the show, about 8:30, we're going to bring on my main man, Vaughn Carter, as we talk Denver Broncos and NFL. That's right, I said NFL. He is the insider for the NFL, so we're going to talk to him. We're going to chime in him. But before we do that, let's head to a commercial break. We're going to head to a commercial break, and we're going to come back, and we're diving deep into our sports topics here on the Tony Sands Show.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me.
ways in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G. Strange when you're raised in a dope hole. No food if you can't get your dope sold. My uncle just died and it can't be. Tell me this, who made it?
It's already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. It was already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me.
Stress get thick, but I won't fold. Devil hoping that I'll switch, but I won't go. Riding in my whip, I'm a lonely. On the side of the Lord, where I'm gon' be. Swerve, but I take back control. Home time, looking back at the popo. Shaw smell blood in the blue sea. In the streets, they'll kill for a hoesie.
It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me.
Straight to the top, that's for show. Two clocks, two texts, and a fofo. Equipped for the snakes and the phonies. Even keep a close eye on the homies. These words come from my soul. My story had to be told. Let you see what I see.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show, and as I said, my main man, Mr. Bibb, is going to be joining the Tony Sands Show. We're going to get back into this Johnny Manziel topic because I want to hit this topic because he is from the great state of Texas. He is from the great state of Texas, and he knows what's going on in that state. Do we have Bibbs joining us at this time?
What's going on, Tony, man? How you doing today?
What's going on, man? Hey, man, this... Man, I've been on the road. It's been a brutal time, but the show has been going on, and now I am back live on the air, and I want to bring the topics to our fans because they need to know what is going on in the sports world. What's going on in the great state of Texas? You guys are in the news constantly when it comes to college football.
You know, what, Tony, I guess the world sees what's going on. I mean, it's no secret. Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, whatever you want to call him, he's in trouble. You know, Texas A&M is in trouble right now. They're acting like, you know, everything might be okay, but at the end of the day, the evidence is continuously building up against him, not working for him. And, you know, those of you who know the story, he you know, the NCAA is investigating him for possible NCAA violations in which he supposedly signed some autographs, not some autographs, thousands of autographs, and could have possibly been paid for those signings of those autographs or those memorabilia. So, you know, this has been a tough summer for the kid, I guess, and I'm going to have to agree with Curb Herbstreit. I got an opportunity to watch him this morning, and he said that Johnny Manziel has to be the dumbest college athlete he's ever dealt with or seen in his time covering college football. I really have to agree with him. The things that he's you know, done during the past couple of months, completely unacceptable for a college quarterback, you know, under the guidelines and other than the rules, the NCAA, you know, administer. And, you know, Texas A&M better get ready to start looking for a backup quarterback. They have a few on the roster. I think they'll be okay, but they won't be Johnny Manziel.
But now, answer this question. And I know Kirk is an expert in this field, and as you say, he says he's got to be one of the dumbest athletes that he's seen in some time. But I'm going to tap into that a little bit. Does this force the Heisman Trophy Touchdown Club of New York and everybody, does it force them back to look and see, well, maybe we shouldn't have gave a young guy this much of responsibility? Because carrying that Heisman Trophy for a guy that's just that young, did it put a lot more pressure on this young man than this young man was being, that he was prepared for? Now, and that's my question of it is because it's tough trying to be a football player, trying to go to school, but now you have had another added burden because they have truly separated you from the rest of the college world. They have put you on a pedestal, and now you're seeing at, you know, NBA game sideline, you're throwing out baseballs. With a young man at that level, how hard is it not for him, you know, what's it, you know, to make these kind of mistakes? And now he's probably made those mistakes in the past, but now it's only being more publicized because he is the Heisman Trophy candidate. How much of this would have came up if he was not the Heisman Trophy candidate? How much of it really would have got out? I know in this day and age of media, but how much truly would it have gotten out? Or I don't know if I want to call him. I wouldn't call him the dumbest. I say he's not prepared for the stage that he's on. So that means I got to look at some people that's around him. And when I say look around him, I got to look at Texas A&M because A&M clearly had to understand once this young man received this Heisman Trophy. And I don't know if they did, if they didn't. They should have prepared this young man, brought some people in and say, hey, this is what comes with being a Heisman Trophy candidate. And I'm not saying that they didn't, but I don't know if they did because there is a lot of pressure. And I think that's why when you see the Heisman Trophy being given out, it's being given out probably to an older guy.
Yeah, I guess. It's all a learning process for them right now with Johnny Manziel being the first freshman to ever win a Heisman Trophy. But at the same time, I'm sure Texas A&M had to have sat down with him and told him, like, look, it's gonna get the camera is gonna be on you 24/7. The things that you do right now are gonna follow you for the rest of your life and gonna follow you into next season. So, you know, you might wanna, I know you wanna be a kid, you're a 21-year-old kid, you wanna live a 20-year-old kid's life, but you're a Heisman candidate. You're a Heisman Trophy winner now. You know, and it's all due to your football, the great football player that you are, but that's the opportunity and that's the choice that you chose to do.
Correct.
Play football and be good at it.
So correct. You can't,
I mean, he could have turned down a Heisman, but no one does that. No one in this has ever done that, I guess, turned down a Heisman, but it's because it's a recognition of the best college football player of that season. So, you know, and I agree with you when you say he was not ready, he was not prepared, very ignorant to what was coming, you know, as far as being a Heisman Trophy winner. But you got to grow up. At the time, you're seeing that that the things that you're doing are being scrutinized and are being very, and it has a magnifying glass on you. And me being, I guess, an individual, if I saw these things happening to me or what was going on, I would, you know, try to do something and try to fall back a little bit. But when I say that he's dumb, I don't say he's dumb because of the decisions that he made. More, he's dumb because of him, the camera situation, the on-camera situation with him signing autographs and the statement that he made while he was on camera.
Now I'm going to tell you something now, and that is right. If you know, but then it goes back to the immaturity that this young man has for understanding, because anytime you do that, it's going to always come down to a situation to where somebody's going to use that against you. But then I blame the NCAA, though. Now, the NCAA can make money off your jerseys.
Right.
They can make all the money they want out there, and that's why they went back to recant, hey, we're pulling all this stuff down off our sites, because they made it. I think in this situation, some people are going to look at Johnny Manziel as dumb, but I think he might have set the trend that needed to be set to let people understand that these young men and their signings are worth some value. Here it is, the NCAA is making money off their jerseys, but why can't they make money? And I think, to me, and I know because they say rules are set in place, yeah, but there always been trendsetters that make people in the NCAA, these, I call them ancient people, because they don't understand what's going on in this time because they're too high to look down at what's going on down below. And I think this situation may bring a little bit more light to even the lawsuit that's being brought out, to where the NCAA now has pulled themselves back even from the gaming situation to where it is.
I definitely agree with you. Go ahead, Tony.
It brought them back from the gaming situation. You understand where they had to say, okay, because they know there's a possibility that they may have to pay back some serious money. So right. We're going to separate ourselves and we're going to get out of this contract. And I'm going to tell you what I'm hearing at the level, some of the high school guys that are going into college, and I had to explain it to them, saying, man, shoot, man, this hurt us. I said, no, it don't hurt you. Man, I'm not even going to be able to get on a game. I said, it doesn't hurt you. Would you rather be on a game or would you rather be getting paid for your services? And when I broke it down to them in that term, they kind of understood. I said, that's right, what these right. guys are doing. Out the heck with a game. I want to get paid for what I do on the football field. And I'm going to tell you, did you get it? You know, Dez even charmed in on this Johnny Manziel situation. We have that, you know, we have that. Let's listen to that, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to hit back when Dez charmed in and when he was talking about NCAA, and not so much about Johnny Manziel, but talking about what is going on in that situation. Let's listen to this.
The wrath of the NCAA before. During his junior year, in fact, at Oklahoma State, he was suspended for not telling the truth about having a legal dinner, not illegal, but legal dinner with Deion Sanders. So when asked about Johnny Football, he says he hopes things work out well, but if he doesn't get suspended, he'll be upset.
Hell yeah, I'll be mad. I will be mad. I think so. But I don't want him to get suspended. I will be mad more at the NCAA. Yeah. At the NCAA on how they do things. I just feel like it's not fair. This is something, you know, I have no problem talking about because I feel like, you know, somebody needs to say something to them and let it be known how they, you know, how they treat people is not right.
Now, I'm going to tell you, B, you heard that. How do you break that down for one of yourself once you hear that? What you take from it?
I completely agree with Dez Bryant. For the simple fact, we watched him get suspended during his junior season at Oklahoma State, but like the lady said, for illegal action, and then he got suspended for basically telling a lie, not committing a crime or doing something out of that was, I guess, a negative to the NCAA eyes. But you know, he did something. He had a dinner with Deion Sanders and told him that he didn't. And he was suspended for the almost the majority of his senior season. So I understand him being upset with the NCAA because what Johnny Manziel is supposedly doing, if this is illegal, yeah, he should be suspended. You know, if it's illegal, but now if it's found to be not illegal, then okay, he might not get suspended. He might get suspended for a couple of games. But I definitely agree with Dez Bryant, and I understand where he's coming from when it comes to that. He dealt with the NCAA, and like I said, he was suspended. So
yeah, he did see the wrath of the NCAA. But now tell me this. And this is the part when you get a guy like Dez Bryant to speak out about this situation. People are going to look at this in a couple of different ways. And you know how America is. America has two eyes, and the eyes that they look out of are black and white.
Right.
And in this situation, there's one white and there's one black. Now, does this put more pressure on the NCAA to say, hey, we got to make a decision here? Because we can't have a whole nother backlash come at us saying that, hey, here go one guy in a situation that didn't do anything legally wrong, but, you know, stretch the truth is what I call it, versus a guy that have completely violated our rules that we set forth. He broke them, and we know he broke them if it is to be true. And that's what I tell my listeners, if it is to be true, do that put added pressure on him with Dez coming out with that?
Yeah, it does. And you know what? Just to jump back to what you were saying earlier about, you know, the NCAA. I think the NCAA kind of knows that it's possibly going to be. They're going to take some backlash for, you know, some of the rulings that they've done in the past, and it's like they just. Like split ways with EA Sports when you're talking about the video games. They split with EA Sports, so EA Sports will no longer be doing their games. They took down their memorabilia and their merchandise off the internet. Like, they're trying to cover up something. They know something's going to happen, and, you know, they're trying to protect themselves as best as possible right now, you know,
of
until,
course.
I guess, all hell breaks loose.
But and I'm going to tell you something. Is somebody right now behind the scenes getting ready to really, really expose what the NCAA is doing? Because now it's starting to, you know, I talked about it one time before about slavery within the NCAA. And now it's really coming to a head that this could be, possibly is, modern day slavery here in America. There's no other entity in America that can completely dominate everything. And there's no judicial system that can go against the NCAA and their ruling. Nowhere in America that this happens but with the NCAA. And I think a lot of that is what they're fearing. So they're trying to, what I call, do some backtracking to get this situation under control. And I think Dez probably, with him speaking out, even brought more light to it, because he's saying that the way he was treated was unfair. And I agree with him. You take a young man's whole season and throw it away. And throw it away because of a dinner that was not illegal. Now, not illegal in any kind of way. You're telling me this is how you punish young college athletes because they stretched the truth to you guys?
Not one game, Tony. Not two games. They took he played a few of those games that year, if I'm not mistaken. But they took the entire rest of the season away from him, bowl game and everything.
And could have affected this young man's possibility to make future earnings with the way that they'd handled this situation. I'm telling you, it blows my mind every time I see this. But now I think this puts the pressure on A&M. Now, do A&M play him before a ruling is put forth, though? What do you think?
That's the million-dollar question right now for A&M. You know, because, you know, if they do play him and he's found to have, you know,
committed these infractions
in the NCAA eyes, then they're going to, you know, forfeit those ball games that he played in. I mean, so that's the big question. Do you play him? I mean, and he's found not guilty, and maybe y'all possibly win all those games and, you know, still in contention for a national championship, or you don't play him, you lose one, and then he's still found innocent, and you're like, well, wow, if we would have played him, we would have possibly won that game, and we would still be, you know, in contention. But that's a big question for Texas A&M right now. And, you know, only they can make it. I can't make it for them. I don't know what I would do right now. I really don't know. I would basically push the NCAA to make a decision sooner than later, you know,
but as opposed to – Yeah, like you say, they got to make it. And sooner or later, they got to at some point come up with it, because it puts the pressure back on A&M. But in any other situation, they always say the key word that they use is that we're going to do what's in the best interest of the organization. Do they use that word here with Johnny Manziel? It's tough.
I don't know if that's even you know, I don't know. But
and that's going to be the question.
I can tell you that it's going to bring up if he's not suspended, and he, for what we have seen and what we've read upon it as far as him, and he's signing over 1,000 autographs, you know, I don't know anybody that'll sit down and sign 4,400 autographs and don't get paid for it. That's a lot of work.
Heck yeah.
And I know he comes from a family with money, but any kid wants to get his own money at some point in his life. And that's he could have got paid for it. You know, I think he might have got paid for it. You know, that's a lot of work to do to not be compensated for it.
That's the million-dollar question. You said the million-dollar question. When we say Johnny Manziel don't have no money, his parents have money.
Right.
He has no money. He comes from a family that are pretty well off, but that's not his money. That is his parents' money. And at some point, every young man strives to have their own. And I'm quite sure this young man is no different in his dealings with trying to have money. B, we're going to go ahead to a commercial, and we're going to come back, man. And I'm going to tell you something. We're going to talk Tom Brady. Tom Brady. Does this how does this affect the New England Patriots if Tom Brady has to miss some games? Stay tuned as we talk about the possibility of the New England Patriots being without Tom Brady here on The Tony Sands Show.
Sensational parties and more by Clandrous Fans, where they decorate for your occasion. Whether it's for weddings, baby showers, anniversary, graduations, homecoming, cherries, proms, and more, give them a call. They have it all. She caters to all Tri-County areas, Palm Beach County, Broward and Dade County. Also, ask about affordable party packages. She has one to fit your party budget. Call and mention this ad and receive $50 off your service. That's right, $50 off your services. Presented to you by Sensational Parties and More by Clandra Sands. Call at 954-708-0581. That's 954-708-0581. Call now.
I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me.
Raising the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G. Strange when you're raised in a dope hole. No food if you can't get your dope sold. My uncle just died and it can't be. Tell me this, who made it?
I already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. It was already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me.
Stress get thick, but I won't fold. Devil hoping that I switch, but I won't go. Riding in my whip, I'm lonely. On the side of the Lord, where I'm gon' be. Swerve, but I take back control. Home time, looking back at the popo. Shots smell blood in the blue sea. In the streets, they'll kill for a
hoesie. It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show, and we are talking sports here in America. B, as we left out, we talked about Tom Brady limping off the practice field with a possibly knee injury. It is taking over all the breaking news. They're talking about Tom Brady. How does this affect the New England Patriots if Tom Brady cannot return to the field?
Actually, this is like a second coming for the New England Patriots as far as Tom Brady getting hurt, because we had an opportunity to see him go down. I hate the way I phrase that, but we saw him go down, you know, a couple of years ago. And Matt Castle came in, and, you know, they actually did pretty good, but they didn't make it to the Super, I mean, to the playoffs.
Right.
And we just saw Ryan Mallett go down with a head injury this past week, you know, but I guess he's back practicing, but I don't know how, you know, how good he would be, you know, in that system right now. This would be a travesty, I would think, for the New England Patriots. You had to start Tim Tebow as your quarterback. Not to mention, y'all have no weapons right now. You know, Aaron Hernandez is in prison. Rob Gronkowski hasn't been cleared to practice or play yet. We really don't have anybody but Danny Amendola, and he can't stay healthy to save his life. So, you know, without Tom Brady, and I guess the core running backs they have back there, I don't see the New England Patriots doing anything, but I don't think it's that bad, though, Tony. I think he'll be okay. It was just maybe a sprain. It looked worse than what it probably was with the way he grimaced and rolled on the ground. But I don't. From what I've been reading, is everything negative. I mean, X-rays are negative. No structural damage. Just a tweak of the knee, a sprain. He should be, you know, iced down, rested. He should be back, you know, maybe a couple of weeks. It might linger for a little bit, but I think he'll be able to play.
Now tell me this. How does this change when he do come back? How do you think this changed the way that the New England Patriots practice when they bring teams in? Do you take this kind of chance, or is it something that just continue? You just got to be careful, because he got to get work in traffic, because he got to be able to move in the pocket. You got to be able to see things. And as you said, you know, the tackle was being driven back. He got bull rushed. Right. Into Brady's leg.
Yeah, and Brady was that's one of those incidents where you really can't control it. You know, he's standing in the pocket, you know, ready to deliver a pass like he's done millions of times before, and it just so happened that his offensive tackle was, like you said, bull rushing to him. You know, it's really nothing you can do. I don't think that they changed the way they practice as far as bringing teams in, because they need that work. You know, against right. different teams, different defense, different offense, not just going against the same guys every day. You know, that can get tiring, that can get boring, and it can possibly stunt your growth. So, you know, I don't think they change anything. I think they continue to do what they've been doing. You just might want to be a little bit more careful. I really don't know how you go about being more careful, but, you know, it is a freak accident at the end of the day.
And that's what I'm saying. You got to be careful, but it's something that, hey, unfortunately, this is the game of football, and things like this do happen. But let's stay on this, because quarterbacks have been the hottest topic that's going on in the NFL. And one of the controversies that is going on is the situation with Donovan McNabb and RG3. Donovan, you know, he's saying he's been brainwashed. What's your take on that situation with what Donovan McNabb was saying?
I mean, I don't really understand. I don't see how he can make a statement like that. I mean, I guess he did play for the Redskins organization before Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, or whatever, and he had his problems with them. But I don't see how he can say RG3 is brainwashed. You know, what makes some person brainwashed? I don't recall him ever explaining how he's brainwashed. You know, I don't really see it. I see that RG3 does speak a lot to the media, you know, more than I thought he would. But, correct. I mean, that's the role that he's taking as far as being the leader of his team. Then, okay, I'm all for it. They're winning with it. They went to the playoffs for the first time in a couple of years with that way he dealt with the media last year. So, you know, I'll say don't change it until something goes wrong, you know. And nothing's went wrong besides him getting injured, you know, which happens in the game of football, which we can get deeper into that, but that's another topic. But I don't see how Donovan McNabb can say that this guy's brainwashed. I just don't see why he's even bothering him. You know, like, he doesn't want to speak with you. I mean, okay, if he doesn't want to speak with you.
Because I'm quite sure with McNabb, there was people that wanted to speak to him at one time, and I'm quite sure he – you know, backed away from them. Here is a guy, you know, I'm injured. I got to do what's in the best interest of my team, because I can see a couple ways to where RG3 say, you know, I want to back away from this. But the simple fact is that he don't know the relationship that Donovan McNabb and Shanahan left on.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? That they didn't leave on. I don't think it was a nice parting between these two. I don't think it was. So now, Donovan, Matt, if I'm listening to you, is this because you are bitter and you're giving me this information? Because for you to say that he's being brainwashed, that sounds to me like a bitter statement. But we have the sound bite. Let's listen. We're going to listen to the sound bite, Donovan McNabb and RG3. Let's chime in and let people hear exactly what we're talking about and what some of the things that were said by Donovan McNabb by RG3.
Quote, I'm just trying to help him, but clearly the young generation think they have all the answers, and he's going through a little turmoil right now of trying to get out on the field. Where we're at right now as far as these young quarterbacks who think they have all the answers. I honestly think that over there in Washington, he's getting brainwashed. So Donovan McNabb speaking about why RG3 does not want to reach out to him. Whose side are you on?
I'm on RG3's side. But I don't mean that with any disrespect to Donovan McNabb. I worked in Philadelphia for 16 years. I was there for the vast majority of time, if not the entire career, of Donovan McNabb in the Philadelphia Eagles uniform. I know him personally. He's a great, great guy, and we all know that. And those qualifiers are necessary because of what has to be said about him. Donovan McNabb is a great guy. Donovan McNabb is a role model. Donovan McNabb, in my opinion, is the greatest quarterback to ever play for the Philadelphia Eagles.
But you heard what Donovan McNabb said. Clearly, the young generation, they think they have all the answers. He was a young generation guy at one time.
Right. And I think maybe he's, you know, maybe putting himself in RG3 shoes because he's been through that before. And that might be why, right, he, you know, trying to, I guess, speak with him, just to possibly give him some advice on how to go about, you know, this situation he's dealing with as far as him being injured and wanting to play. But, I mean, if a guy says he doesn't want to talk to you, I mean, let it go. I mean, because we've been down this road before. He's already made, you know, a statement about RG3 previously. And,
correct,
you know, it didn't go anywhere. And I guess he's coming out again, trying to talk with him again. It's not going anywhere. So, you know, he tried. If you really, and I don't think he's in bad nature. I think he's really trying to help him. But, you know, if he doesn't want the help and he doesn't want to speak with you, you have to just let it go, man. You can't just continue to force yourself upon him, I guess.
And that's what I'm saying. And also we have with us, we just and this guy is so busy dealing with the Broncos. He is our Bronco insider. Mr. Vaughn Carter will be also joining me and my co-host, Mr. Bibbs, as we talk NFL football. B, are you with us, man?
Yes, brother. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man. We're talking this RG3 McNabb stating that he's being brainwashed. Me and B chimed in on a little bit. Give me your opinion on what's being said by Donovan McNabb. Do he have the right to say it? Is it justifiable? Or do we sense some type of animosity between McNabb and the Washington Redskins? And now here's my way to speak out on it, because I can't go directly at the organization, but I can go directly at the franchise player.
That's a smart thing. You know, I think that Donovan McNabb is a bitter ex-football player right now.
Exactly.
As you mentioned before, Tony, and you guys were talking about before, I mean, this guy may have left on bad terms with Mike Shanahan, the head coach of the Washington Redskins. So I think that this is some form of resentment possibly coming back into effect. And he's taken the outlet now as an analyst to be able to express himself, to basically be able to use this now as a possible way to kind of like express his displeasure to the Redskins from back when he used to play with them.
Correct. Now, tell me this now. And he got to understand, I'm quite sure, it ain't just RG3 that's saying, hey, I don't want to speak to you. Because the Washington Redskins do have a media relations person that say, hey, we've talked to Shanahan, we've talked to Daniel Snyder, and they said right now, we don't want you to speak with Donovan McNabb. But now, McNabb, are you... At some point, someone, I always say, probably tried to speak to McNabb that McNabb shunned away from. And now you're saying this young generation think they know everything. And how do you know that he's going through a little bit of turmoil right now? You might sense it as turmoil, McNabb, but the organization doesn't see it as turmoil. You got to understand, Snyder took that organization took some heat when they played him in that game. Do we take a chance and follow that same path and really look bad, or do we say, hey, wait a minute, we got to step in and run? Because you got to remember the last time they let RG3 made that decision, and they saw the results, what it cost them. So I guess now they're saying, hey, we're an organization, you are our franchise players, we got to look at what's in the best interest of the Washington Redskins to win this season.
I totally agree, and I think that that's the outlook that they're currently having. Mike Shanahan allowed RG3 to kind of dictate his playing time in that last game in which he got hurt. So I think now Mike Shanahan is now pulling the reins back. You know, RG3 saying he's ready to go, and Mike Shanahan's kind of like, you know, slowly but surely, methodically bringing him along due to the fact that you cannot allow this young man to have another injury, basically. He's already had two ACL injuries in his career, one in college, now one on the professional level. So he's currently, he could be considered damaged goods, Tony. And I'm really optimistic to see how this young man comes back. I think he can come back. I think he can still continue to be a rising superstar in this league. But I am weary, and I'm interested to see how his progression is after these two major injuries.
And that's going to be the question. But you talk about damaged goods, so let's head to where? Rex Ryan in Cortland, New York. As he talked and came out in his press conference and used, I think, some words that I don't know how his young quarterback is going to be able to bounce back, or can he take this and bounce back. When he said the quarterback, Geno Smith, was brutal today. Is that a word? And B, I'm going to let you chime in on it. And then, B, I'm going to let you chime in on it. B, go ahead. You as a young quarterback, how would you decipher that when a guy, your head coach, tell you, told the media in the world that you had a brutal day?
I mean, if that's the truth. I mean, the guy threw four interceptions in practice today in the 7-on-7 drills and 11-on-11. I mean, if you're trying to win a starting spot, then you can't really worry about what the coach has to say to the media. All you can do is worry about progressing and getting better and giving yourself a better opportunity to become the starter of this football team. Yeah, you had a bad practice. He called it a brutal practice, which it probably was a brutal practice for him. He's injured at the same time. So, you know, you got to get yourself right and not really worry about what the coach has to say. He's going to say what he wants to say. And everybody knows how Rex Ryan does things and how he talks to the media. So, you know, you got to put his big boy pants on, I guess, stuff that one up and just keep moving. And that's how I would take it if it was me.
But now, how many times have you seen, and if you're looking for Geno Smith to be your franchise quarterback in the upcoming years, how many times have you seen a head coach call out a potential franchise quarterback? I'm quite sure when Luck went in and RG3 went in and Cam Newton went out, I know there had to be some practices that they had that were brutal, but their coaches did not. Why? Because you got to remember, we got a young, fragile mind that we're dealing with. Give me your opinion on that. Do you think?
Absolutely. I'll tell you right now, Tony, what this is, and my personal opinion is, this is another off-the-cuff comment by a head coach who knows that the end is currently near. Rex Ryan knows at the end of this season he's most likely going to be fired. Mark Sanchez is going to be gone because he's a free agent at the end of the 2013 season. So what I think this is Rex Ryan's tired of hearing how Geno Smith is looking good. Rex Ryan's tired of the New York media and the national press talking an interest in Geno Smith. He is currently tied at the hip with his quarterback, who he came in with his head coaching job. Mark Sanchez was his guy as his quarterback. So we know the golden rule in the NFL. The quarterback and the head coach go hand in hand. They're married as one. But we must remember the general manager of the New York Jets is John Idzig. He just came over from Seattle. He has no allegiance to Rex Ryan or Mark Sanchez. So I think that this is a desperate act by Rex Ryan to simmer everyone down in an attempt to convince everyone and allow Mark Sanchez to get his game together and become the starting quarterback.
And that's when I heard that comment, when I heard him come out in a press conference and he stated that. And when I look at this situation, how can a guy perform at their best, especially at the quarterback position, when their ankle is bad, because they got to be able to press off. They got to be able to press off that ankle. And I'm quite sure that's what caused this young man to possibly throw these interceptions, because he can't get his full velocity into the ball because his ankle is so tender. But now it goes back to, like you said, did Rex Ryan truly want to draft Geno Smith?
I don't think so. I think John Idzig, the new general manager that came over from Seattle, I think this is his master plan. Get a new quarterback in place first, a franchise guy that you think can lead the organization, and then next year they're going to look for a new head coach to continue the progression of the Jets. But I definitely think Mark Sanchez is gone. The Jets will obviously not re-sign him, and the Jets are definitely, I think that Rex Ryan is definitely going to be fired at the end of the season.
And so, Bibbs, give me your take on this whole thing.
I definitely agree with Mr. Miller. He said it hit it right on the money. This is over. Like, this marriage between, I guess, Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez is over. At the end of the season, both of them will be gone. Geno Smith will possibly be the starting quarterback going into this season and next season. And it'll be a new head coach in the forefront. So, yeah, it's like I said, it's over for Rex Ryan. And I do agree with what you said earlier about it being, you know, just a desperate move to keep his quarterback on the field for right now, you know.
Because, like you say, he does have, you know, Rex Ryan does have an allegiance to Sanchez because it makes him look good. If he has to bench what he thought was his franchise quarterback, it makes him look bad in the eyes of ownership. It makes him look bad in the eyes of the New York media, who is and can be very brutal when it comes to this situation. I think the New York media is more building Geno Smith up than what Rex Ryan, like you said, what he really wants him to be, because once that pressure, that media get on you, ownership starts seeing it, fans start seeing it, and everybody want change, and they always want it change, because you got to figure in the preseason game, Sanchez threw an interception coming out the box, but I didn't hear Rex Ryan come out and say that he had a brutal game. He did not say that. He said he still named him as his starter, and that's going forth. I think unfortunate for Geno Smith that he had the ankle injury, and it has put him back a little bit. But here we are clearly stating it again that I don't see him beating him out for game one. Maybe once he get healthy, it's going to be a long way. If they was to play him as their starting quarterback, I don't see it happening if Sanchez don't screw up in the first game, I don't see that possibly taking place to around the fourth, fifth game. And it's got to be clear and convincingly that Sanchez is not the guy for the New York Jets and Rex Ryan. But, hey, guys, listen, and before you got in, we chimed in on Tom Brady. Let's chime in on Tom Brady. Give me your opinion in 30 seconds on this situation with Tom Brady and how does this affect the New England Patriots, if it does. And then let's get into a little Broncos, because I know you have the inside scoop because you are the insider for the Broncos.
Well, quickly on the New England Patriots and the Tom Brady injury, it's going to be very interesting to see how, if this is a critical injury, if there's any kind of damage to the same knee. We got to wait and see. But I think that the New England Patriots are going to have a slide back year this year. I mean, they have limited weapons at the wide receiver position. You guys talked about Gronkowski's hurt. Hernandez is in jail. They have a plethora of unnamed wide receivers. Amendola's not consistent. So I think that this is going to be a very difficult year for the New England Patriots. I actually picked the Buffalo Bills to win the division.
Whoa. How did I say? Ooh. The Buffalo Bills? Ooh. So that means just overlooked the Miami Dolphins and said, nah, Tannehill is not the answer. You got to wait a little bit. You're predicting the Buffalo Bills to win that division.
I'll tell you the reason quickly why the Buffalo Bills are going to win the division. E.J. Manuel is going to be a very efficient quarterback. He'll average 15 to 17 throws a game, which will minimize his mistakes. At the same time, the Buffalo Bills have the best running game in the entire division with C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson. So late in the season, when the weather gets bad on the East Coast, in Buffalo, in New York, in New England, you're going to need to be able to run the ball, and who better than C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson?
You're right, nigga. That's that 1-2 punch. And when one way down, I'm going to come in and bring another one at you. Ooh, that's big predictions. You know, a lot of people predicting Miami to win that division, being that the New England Patriots are in the state of, as they call it, I know Bill Belichick wouldn't want to hear this word because he considered himself the guru, that they are in a rebuilding phase. That franchise, I think, have had its glory days. And if he can make it out of this, I will give him that tag of genius. If he can make it through all this that has happened to them this offseason, it's really going to show just truly how good he is and how truly great Tom Brady is. But now give me some insight on the Broncos. Give me, you know, Von Miller situation with Miller and not showing up on court date, was arrested. And, you know, give me some issues.
Ugly.
Give me some situations.
Ugly right now, Tony. It's ugly. I mean, you had two executives get arrested for DUIs. before the training camp started. You know, not a nice situation. Von Miller's situation is pending right now. We'll have to wait to see what, you know, the appeal says tomorrow with the NFL. Hopefully we'll hear something either, you know, within the next few days. But the Broncos are optimistic. They think that Miller's not going to get suspended or will have a reduced sentence of maybe 2 games. So we got to wait and see. But this is a Super Bowl or bust season for the Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning is getting $20 million a season. Champ Bailey's up in age, and he's getting a large check. Run over Wes Welker now. And the Broncos are excited. The organization, everyone knows, after that catastrophic loss to Baltimore last year, Tony, this has to be a Super Bowl winning season. And the Broncos are relying on Monty Ball, a rookie out of Wisconsin who had a great college career, and Ronnie Hillman, who is a second-year running back. So this is it. Boom or bust for the Broncos. It's either Super Bowl or it's a major disappointment.
Who win that division?
Broncos will win the division. I got the Broncos going about 13-3 this season.
Wow. Whoa. 13-3?
Yeah, 13-3 this season. The defense will be much better. But the problem is going to be not the regular season for us. I think that Peyton Manning, as we all know, statistically is the greatest quarterback in the regular season, but it's going to come down to the playoffs. And can the Broncos finish this time is going to be the key.
And that is true. How, you know, as we state, I want to, you know, if you look at their schedule, they open up with Baltimore. And then, you know, they go to New York. That's going to be a pretty tough. And then they go to Oakland and Philadelphia. And then they're at Dallas on Sunday, October 6th, at Dallas. CBS got that game. I mean, if we look at Baltimore, we say they got Baltimore. They can beat Baltimore. I see them beating Baltimore. New York, Oakland is not going to be a problem. Philadelphia, depending on how they gel with Michael Vick and their offense. Dallas is going to be tough. I was in Dallas camp last week visiting with the Cowboys, and Desden was fired up down there. Tony Romo.
I can believe that's going to be a tough game, Tony.
I'm telling you. And B, I know you don't, you know, Tony Romo looked kind of good. Tony Romo looked good the two practices that I saw him in. I don't know how he's going to hold up.
You know the deal with Tony Romo. Everybody knows the deal with Tony Romo. He looks good at times, but it's times when he makes, you know, I don't even want to get into it.
I mean, he looked good. Dad, I'm going to tell you something. Who I saw, to me, looked like possibly a leadership role could stand up, and that was Dez Bryant. I got a chance to see some Michael Irvin and Dez Bryant. Catches that were unbelievable. Unbelievable. Talking trash and practice, getting guys fired up, having guys fly around. I saw a guy that said, hey, guess what? I want to become one of the top receivers in this game, and this is how I got to do it. He was in the weight room before practice. He was in the weight room after practice working hard. Running routes after practice. This young man, I think, is maturing in the way that the Dallas Cowboys want him to mature and be. And I think he's going to cause havoc this year in the NFL. But now we go down to the schedule. I can see why. I mean, the schedule is not tough. I'm going to go week 10. And you look at San Diego, they got to go to Kansas City. Now, that's going to be a tough one. Now, you know that's that rivalry game between Kansas City and Denver. I'm going to give that game to Kansas City. I just am. I like what Kansas City is doing. Huh?
Absolutely. We tend to split. It's a division rivalry. You know how those division games
and everything goes out. And then they go to New England, but then they come back December 1. They go to Kansas City, then they go to Denver. Within a 2-week span, they're back playing the Chiefs again.
Right, and that's where the split comes. I think the first game of the two, November 17th, at home against the Kansas City Chiefs, I think the Broncos will win that game. They'll beat the New England Patriots in New England because New England's going to slide back this year, I think. But then I think I agree with you. On December 1st, I think they'll lose that game against Kansas City, in Kansas City.
All right, Bibbs, hey, give me your opinion on the NFC East. Who you think wins the NFC East?
Well, everybody in the NFC East seems to be, I guess, trying to get their teams together. But right now, I would have to say the New York Giants. They have the most complete team right now. The secondary can maintain and not give up so many big plays down the field as they did last year. And they can be consistent on the ground game with the second-year running back. They have the best opportunity to win the NFC. Cowboys have showed me a lot, but I still have to see the finished product on the field with so many different changes to the offense and the defense. If they can come together and do what they're supposed to do, like they're supposed to do every year, then they could possibly be our NFC championship. I don't think the Redskins will win it. I think they'll take a step back, and I definitely don't see the Eagles winning it with everything that's going on and the loss of the big-time receivers on offense. I don't see the Eagles really doing too much. But right now, I would have to say the New York Giants.
All right, guys. Hey, listen, we're winding this show down. I got to go. My guys, thank y'all for joining me each and every week. But I'm going to tell you, I'm picking the Cowboys. They're worth the more. They're a $22.3 billion organization. And Jerry Jones wants his money worth. He got to get it. The pressure is on everybody in Dallas. The pressure is on. Trust me. I was around there, and it was flying high. You can feel the tension that, hey, we got to win now or never. Now or never, or this whole organization will look totally different next year. Guys, hey, join me next week here on the Tony Sands Show. You're going to get a chance to talk to my main man, B.C., and my main man, Bibbs, as we talk NFL football. Until next week, here on the Tony Sands Show, I'm going with the team that's worth $2.3 billion here on the Tony Sands Show.
It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm going ball, yeah, I'm going to be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. In the world that's so cold, why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G. Strange when you're raised in a dope hole. No food if you can't get your dope sold.